Listen, I don't exactly know what you do or how you do it, but when you walk through these gates, things start happening. The press starts falling in line, the Secret Service gets extra secret, and when you go back out, everyone's breathing a little bit easier.
Damn straight.
It's April Ryan.
It's time for Jackie Reed and Inside Her Story. Jackie's on vacation, and in for Jackie Reed is April Ryan, American Urban Radio Network's White House correspondent. April Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Well, with the horrific images and now audio of children crying after being separated from their parents at the border, the Trump administration is still passing blame on a law that does not exist. Today, I'm going inside her story with NAACP Legal Defense Fund President and Director Counsel Sherlyn Ifill to give us clarification on the law that is causing this to happen. Sherlyn Ifill, welcome. And why hasn't President Trump decided to reverse this policy that people are calling inhumane?
Thanks so much, April. He's not reversing it because it is his policy. It is a policy that was announced by John Kelly. It is a policy that has been touted by Attorney General Jeff Sessions. This is the deliberate and explicit policy of this administration, zero, quote unquote, zero tolerance for people at the borders, taking into custody and treating as criminals those who are, in many cases, seeking political asylum, who, even if they are violating a law, are engaged in a misdemeanor, and separating those parents from their children. You have heard the president's chief of staff describe it as a deterrent. You've heard the attorney general describe it as a deterrent. But this administration is doing what it always does. It's talking out of two sides of its mouth to confuse the public. So Secretary of Homeland Security Kirstjen Nielsen yesterday tweeted in the morning that there is no policy of forced separation, and then came out with guns blazing at the news conference, and you were there, April, essentially defending the policy. This is all to confuse the reality that the president has deliberately adopted this policy to punish, to use as a leverage to try to get his wall built from the Democrats, and to harm.
Is this really about a wall?
To really harm this population.
Is this really just about a wall? I mean, versus kids versus a wall? Is that what it's about?
I think it's even worse than that. I think it's not only using the kids as a negotiating tool for the wall, but I think this is President Trump feeding his base. This is what he talked about on the campaign trail. He talked about, you know, zero tolerance. He described the population of people coming from Central America and from Mexico as rapists and not their best, and described in many ways them as animals when he purported to be talking about MS-13. But he's made very little distinction in his conversation about immigrants coming from the South. So he has fed his base with the idea of who these people are. He has dehumanized them to his base. And when you hear those children crying, and I hear the children crying, April, it touches our heart. It wrenches our heart. We wonder how this can be. But I think that there are many who are hearing it in this country who feel that this is the what they elected this president for. And he's speaking to those people. He is not speaking as the president of the entire United States, and he's not speaking as a moral leader of this country.
Well, the president's own wife, Melania Trump, and all the former first ladies, living first ladies, to include Michelle Obama, and more poignantly, former First Lady Laura Bush, who is a Republican who lives in a border state, has equated it to the Japanese-American internment camps of decades ago. You also hear some people who are equating it to Africans enslaved in this country. And some others are saying it's like the Holocaust because we are seeing these kids and families being kept in kennels. Is there some kind of lawsuit that could be filed to prevent this? I mean, that's the thing that you do, your organization. What can happen to change this dynamic?
Well, the good news is that first out of the gate was the ACLU. And so there is a lawsuit challenging already the separation of children at the border. And there are a number of actions that are going to unfold over the next few days. The part that I think is most important for us not to forget is that this is not just about President Trump. We have another co-equal branch of government, the United States Congress. There is a bill in the Congress to stop this practice. It has been signed and is supported by every Democrat in the Senate. So far, no Republican support, despite the fact that many Republicans have spoken out against this policy. At the very least, what we must have from Congress are oversight hearings. Kirstjen Nielsen should have to sit before the committee that oversees Homeland Security. Jeff Sessions should have to sit before the committee that oversees the Department of Justice. We need to get these two people sitting at the same table, making them speak consistently. We need to get oversight of Health and Human Services to find out where are these children. I'm not talking about the unaccompanied minors. There's a process for them. I'm talking about the children, the babies, the toddlers who came in the arms of their parents and were rent away from their parents. That agency should have to responsibly tell us where those children are, how they're being cared for, and how they're ensuring that they remain connected to their parents. There is work the United States Congress can do, and that's the work that the listeners can do by calling their congresspersons today and telling them they expect them to do their job.
How quickly could that happen, getting the two of them together?
That could happen this week. If Congress calls you for an oversight hearing, mm-hmm. it is your obligation to come. Congress has oversight of that committee. They control the purse strings, and they can compel, just as Kirstjen Nielsen could fly from New Orleans yesterday mm-hmm. to save Sarah Huckabee Sanders at that press conference. She could fly to Washington, D.C., where she works, and sit down at a table before the United States Congress and testify. Jeff Sessions can take a cab over from the Department of Justice and face that committee and talk to the American people and handle their business responsibly. We have a right to get answers. And we can try to lawsuit our way out of this. We stand at the ready, and we're ready to sue. But if we are to have a government that has three branches, it's time for that branch, that co-equal branch that controls legislation, that controls these committees, the United States Congress, to do their job. This is not a partisan issue. This is about who we are as Americans. The American Academy of Pediatrics has called this child abuse. Child abuse. That's how they're describing the actions of the United States government. And it's time that they face the people and demand answers and make a change to this policy. President Trump could do it with a stroke of a pen, but so could the United States Congress.
Sheila Neifel, you know, I'm listening to people in the community, and unfortunately I'm hearing some nays from Black people. Is this just an issue that affects brown America, brown brothers and sisters and cousins? Is it just their issue, or is it all of our issue, and why?
Well, this amuses me so much when I hear this, because, of course, you know, this affects every person, every Black and brown person who comes across the border. This affects African migrants. This affects migrants from Central America who are Black. It saddens me that so many Americans do not understand the strength of the Afro-Latino population from places like Mexico and Honduras and El Salvador and Nicaragua. In many instances, these are Black people. The Legal Defense Fund, the organization I lead, we have filed a suit. We are in litigation against the Secretary of Homeland Security for her decision to rescind the temporary protected status that Haitians enjoyed. And we have charged that that decision was made based on racial discrimination, that there was no logical, rational reason to make that decision, but instead the decision was based on the president's view that he has expressed about people who are coming from what he called S-hole countries, who he deems to be unworthy to be in the United States. So African Americans need to wake up and understand that he is also talking about Black people. And regardless of whether he is or whether he isn't, we are human beings and citizens of this country. I cannot believe that any African American is naive enough to think that a policy like this could not be used against anyone in this country who the president deems unworthy. We have to wake up, and we have to stand together.
Wow.
Well, we just heard it. This immigration issue is huge. We have to weigh in because it affects all of us. I want to thank Jackie Reed for allowing me to go inside her story with NAACP Legal Defense Fund President and Director Counsel Sheila Neifel. Back to you, Tom.
All right.
Great
you on
job,
your way to
ladies.
The White House?
I'm on my way.
American Urban Radio Network's White House correspondent, April Ryan. Good job, April.
Thank you, Tom.
Huggy next. 26 past the hour.